But realistically, money's not going to give me my happiness.
Yeah.
That starts with myself. Money does not only not give you happiness, it doesn't make you a good person.
Yeah.
You make yourself a good person.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 124 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kel Goodman.
What's up, friends?
Guys, today we have a treat for ourselves, and we want to share that with you. We have an individual that's been with us for years and years and years, so much so that he's worked for Kel in past companies and past partnerships, and then, you know, this partnership. So Tyler's been around us for how long now?
It's going on 12.
So, guys, welcome Tyler Augustus, going on 12 years.
Thank you.
In this ecosystem that's been created. And just so that you guys understand, we wanted to bring Tyler on just to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, his story, his evolution as an individual and as a person inside of a company that's now starting to lead individuals, that's now starting to take over a lot of different roles that definitely can be stressful. And he's finding that out, you know, as we speak. But, you know, we wanted to highlight him really just because we've seen a shift in him. And, you know, some people that listen to this might not be an entrepreneur. They might be more of an intrapreneur, somebody that kind of thinks like an entrepreneur that wants to be successful, wants to make good money, but found something that he could be a part of and still accomplish his goals and still accomplish his dreams. And so this is one of the individuals, as we've been talking in previous podcasts about, hey, we have our leadership crew, you know, a couple guys on the sales side, a couple guys on the fulfillment side that's going to ultimately be leading the charge of easier accounting and where it's going. Tyler's one of the main pieces of that. And so we wanted to bring him on and really just highlight him as an individual, some of his past struggles to where he's at now, which is a huge shift. Wouldn't you agree,
Kel? Right. Absolutely, man. Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, like Tyler said, he's been with us 12 years. And, man, I've worked really close with Tyler over the years. And like Trev said, you've had this amazing shift. And I know a lot of your story, man, from bullet bike accidents, beating alcoholism, like just shifting your life, man. And plus going through similar things that I've gone through, like divorces and blended families. And so, dude, it's been crazy awesome to watch you evolve. And like I was telling you last night, man, I think a lot of business owners listen to this podcast, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs listen to it as well. But I think it'd be so valuable for people to hear, like, from their people, like, what is it that gets you here? Like, what is it that makes you wanted to stick around? Like, what is it that makes you want to buy into something, a mission, to take you to the next level, but also, in a company that, wasn't yours to build in from the get go, right? Even though you've taken ownership of it and you've taken it on, it's like, man, what makes an entrepreneur tick? Like you, like where you're like, no, I want to take that on. I want to lead. I want to lift people up around me. I want to be here for the next 10 years. I want to be a part of this baby when it's all said and done. I want to become a millionaire within this company, right? Like, I think that's going to be super valuable for people to hear. But to start, dude, I'd love for people to hear a little bit about your story and kind of where you come from and where you are now too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's always a great place to start because, well, I know the story. Trev knows the story, yeah. But I
think your story's similar to more people than what you even realize, right? Like, I think a lot of people, you know, yeah, in public, everything's all fine and dandy, everything's good, but there's some turmoil, you know, behind the scenes or whatever. And I've seen a personal shift in you in terms of, you know, angry Tyler kind of, you know, stomping or, you know, like, because there was other shit. It wasn't even work shit that was really making you angry. But usually you have to go through something that's kind of shitty in order to find yourself, right? And to create new habits and to evolve out of the old you. You get sick of the old you at one point and you want to, there's got to be more, right?
For sure.
And I felt like, you know, over the last, whatever, 4 or 5 years, there's been a complete shift of Tyler as an individual, Tyler as a leader, Tyler as a sales rep. And so let's kind of unpack some of that shit so people can understand maybe some of the struggles that you've gone through to help you get where you're at today, because we don't get to high places without some struggle, no. Right?
Yeah. I agree with you guys 100% on that. And it's one thing that for me, kind of looking back, trying to like put a finger on one thing that's yeah. kind of shifted, it's kind of hard to do yeah. on one thing, because looking back over the last 12 years and where I've come from, even before that, like coming up, growing up with a family that loved me, cared for me, but yeah. it was hard to have direction.
Yeah.
They didn't show me what real life was about. They didn't show me how to go out and build a
portfolio. They didn't prepare you for the world.
Investments. They right. didn't prepare me for that.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I had no direction. And
what were you doing prior to, you know, getting on with Kel 12 years ago?
You know, that's another thing. I moved here actually from Logan. I moved to St. George about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And when I moved from there, when I first originally moved down here, it was because the girl that I was with at the time that ended up being my boy's mom, she ended up having family down here. So we ended up moving down here because I just wanted to get away from that situation. I knew yeah. what Logan brought me.
Yeah.
I was working in like manufacturing plant for Icon, building treadmills, yeah. working 80 hours a week.
So grinding, miserable.
Dude. Miserable.
So, yeah.
And I knew that because I saw from my family and everything that still lives up there, I knew that that was what my path would have been
yeah.
if I stayed there. Not just on that side, but outside of it, from a friend standpoint, I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. I was at a point where I was just, I didn't really care.
Going with the flow, wherever everybody else was 100%. Going, you were. You're just kind of following the crowd and not the best of one.
Not the best of one at yeah. all. And I knew that where that was going to go. And I had a baby at 17. Probably one of the best things, but hardest things in my yeah. life that helped me grow.
Yeah.
And yep. that's what shifted me. And me and Kel have talked about this a few different times, that it's that shift kind of puts you in an uncomfortable spot where I did get depressed at that point. There was nothing for me to live for because I felt like the biggest piece of crap.
Yeah.
I felt like I wasn't doing anything in life. I felt
yeah.
like I had no direction, no purpose, no reasoning.
Well, life was coming at you quick too.
And yeah.
You
were, oh, yeah.
You probably felt unprepared. Like, what for the sure. hell am I going to do? You know, like, how am I going to handle this situation mm-hmm. when I don't even know how to live life for myself yet, right? Let alone try to provide for a baby, right?
Exactly. And I had dreams. I had goals. Like, I wanted a family. I wanted that security. But I didn't know how to get there.
Yeah.
I knew where I was at and the life I was in, it wasn't going to get me there.
So you knew you had to remove something from, you know, maybe everything, I yeah. guess, mm-hmm. In order to start kind of at ground zero and start building a life for yourself. So did you find like an ad? Or
that's
like,
funny because when
was
I first
it somebody
it was that, Craigslist it was Craigslist
back in the day
back yeah. in the day so
hey we still use it when we need yeah, to you know what I'm
sometimes
saying
sometimes you got to put the bait out wherever you can in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, Indeed, ZipRecruit, Craigslist yeah. whatever, you just never know what you can pick up, you
and that's
know?
A prime example. I mean, I know I came in and originally I came in off the Craigslist ad that was a $10 an hour position mm. and when I first moved to St. George, I just wanted something to get some money coming
yeah.
in. I was living in an apartment. I didn't know what direction I wanted to go career-wise. I was like, you know what? This first company that called, they offered me a position. I'm going in.
Yeah.
You know, didn't think it was going to be anything long-term. And I was there, and I was setting appointments for some of the other closers at that point. I wasn't in the position where I was selling at that point. I'd done sales before, but never like high-ticket items yeah. or anything like that. And so I just got to the position where I came in. I knew that wasn't going to be my future. And I was 100% honest from the get go with his old partner and everything that was there. I told him, I said, hey, this isn't something I'm planning on staying at long-term. I was like, 10 bucks an hour isn't going to feed my family.
Yeah.
I was like, I need more than that. And that's when they offered me the position to move over to sales and go up the sales ladder. And I was excited for that challenge because I knew the opportunity that was there, but I knew it wasn't going to be easy too.
Yeah.
Cause I was shifting to a sales crew that was full of friends and family and part of like Kale's past and all the people that he's grown up with.
Yeah.
I was like, I got an uphill battle. I'm no name dude walking yeah. in here. Like, I have no direction.
You're not going to get favoritism.
I'm not getting favored.
Yeah.
No,
there's none of that. You actually have to work for it. The old school way of doing shit.
Exactly.
What a contrasting culture, right? Like
yeah. exactly.
what we had then versus what we have now. Right.
Be like, grateful.
It's interesting, man. Even when I went over there, because I wasn't working in that office with you guys, as you know, mm-hmm. I'd come over for some sales meetings here and there, come in, check in. I was the guy out getting relationships and leads. And man, when I come in, these guys were just like kind of like beat down, bro. It was
bumps
like
on the log. Just,
yeah. Ugh, the leadership was horrible over there. So yeah. to see the contrast now, and it's not because of like, well, like just us have done. It's what everybody in the company's done, right? Like it's but it is crazy to see that contrast in culture now versus what we came from then. And it's honestly kind of a blessing because now we've seen it, right? Like you've seen it, you were ingrained in it. Like, oh my gosh, this place is horrible the way they treat us versus how we treat people in the company now too. So, and you've been a big part of that. You've been a big part of the culture that we have here now. So, so that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. I don't know if you want to talk at all about that, but dude,
it's a big shift. I mean, I saw him once a month. He'd walk in pretty much to collect a paycheck and he was out. that was it. And so like I knew of him, but there was no personal relationship there. We were dealing with the other two co-partners at that point.
It was a good check though. You got to stop and pick that one up.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah,
it was a good time. So, but it was one of those things. Like it was, to me, it was just a step in my direction. It was a positive step. Like my income was growing. That side of it, I was challenging myself in a new way. I was learning the sales side of it to where I had to actually have full presentations with people. It wasn't just a quick 5-minute conversation. I was done. I had to get to know them. I was building relationships with them too, individually. I liked that. That was a chase that I ended up liking, and it wasn't just a chase for the money, but it was a satisfaction too that came out of it. Mm. It was a reward.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, and I take this back almost to back when I did drink like crazy and had an alcohol problem. It was almost chasing that. I wanted that numbness or that high. I wanted that feeling. But I noticed I started getting that with sales. Mm. I was getting in a different aspect of it. I was getting in a rewarding
like a positive
aspect.
High. Like. Yeah. Your efforts are actually being rewarded rather than going home and, you know, knocking a few back and basically exiting reality at that point. Usually you're running from something if you're running to the bottle, right? Whether you can actually pinpoint what you're running from, you know, some people just don't even know exactly what they're running from, but they just don't want to face reality or ask themselves some tough questions. So it's easier just to wash vodka or whatever it was. What was your drink of choice?
Anything.
So that's how you know. Anything to escape. So you started climbing up the sales ladder. You started making probably money that you hadn't made before. Mm-hmm. Did things in your life start progressing in a positive way, or because of a negative mindset? With the more money that you made, did it actually drive you into a deeper hole, or was it starting to help you pull out of it? Because sometimes money is not a good thing when you're not right mentally, right? You're not in the right mental space to handle the money. Sometimes if somebody has a problem, whether it's drinking or drugs or whatever, these individuals start touching money and the problem actually gets worse in some cases before it ever ends up getting better, right? Mm-hmm. So what was the situation like there? Did it drive you into a little bit deeper of a hole because you were like, hey, this money thing, when I figure this out and I start doing well, life is supposed to be figured out at that point. And then when the money starts coming in, you realize all the problems are still there. You just don't sweat about the house payment. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only difference. All problems are still there for every human being besides maybe the financial aspect. And some people think that money's going to solve all their problems because they think that the only problem they have is money because they're struggling right now. But guess what? If you fix that, then you're going to have to deal with all the other problems that we all have to face, asking ourselves tough questions, having those honest conversations with ourselves in terms of, hey, I can't continue to do this. Like, what did that whole thing look like? What was the low point that made you realize, like, I got to pull out of this thing and basically re-steer the ship in a whole different direction?
To me, it was the opportunity to give my family something that I never thought was possible.
Yeah.
As a human, as a dad, as a father, like it was new.
Yeah.
And it was new in a good way. It was exciting. It was rewarding, but did it come with challenges? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It came with challenges because it wasn't money that I just got given to me.
Yeah.
I had to make sacrifices to do it.
Yeah.
My old marriage, it did take a backseat 100%.
Yeah.
Because I was working 6-7 days a week. Grinding every Saturday. There was never a stone that I didn't want to leave unturned.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what got me to the position I'm even at now. And it still was what drives me. I don't want to leave meat on the bones in any aspect. And during that time, I spent a whole bunch of time just focusing on that side of it. Thinking a lot of times like, yeah, the money would help solve everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it didn't work out even close to that direction.
Sometimes it magnifies it.
does. I mean, financially, I was good. I didn't have to worry about the bills, like you stated. And my kids were good. They had, anytime we wanted vacation, we could do it. But I was also lacking at home. The relationship with my wife, I didn't put the energy into that.
Mm-hmm.
Even my kids.
Yeah.
Missed out on some valuable time there.
Yeah.
You know, but it was all for the end goal.
Yeah.
And now those things are starting to come through. So it allows you to step back and look at those moments and grow. But it wasn't easy. Hell no. It wasn't easy. And it wasn't just with them, but it comes back to having to cut out people out of my life, from friends, family, all the negativity of people that didn't believe in me or brought negativity into my life. I had to cut out. During that time, to be honest with you, it's probably one of the most loneliest times of my life.
That's where you find yourself, though, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't have my family. My home life was upside down. I had a wife that didn't even want to see me when I came home, and vice versa. Like, it was just not a comfortable situation to be in. And, yes, so I was striving.
Do you think that because of that situation, that's why you went home and drank and tried to separate yourself mentally from the situation?
Yes.
So where you could kind of maybe escape some of the problems that were happening at home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In lots of ways, yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, because it was one of those things to me, like, I thought those things could just work theirself out.
Yeah.
Money would help bring some of that in.
Yeah.
And help fix it. No. The older I've got and surrounding myself with people that actually motivate and help you understand that growth is a continuous pattern that every day you got to put in work to in every phase of your life. That's what shifted me.
Mm.
That's the day that I shifted.
So so we already know some of the old habits,
mm-hmm.
you know, working constantly, going home, drinking. Right. Old habits.
Eating bad. Like eating all bad, that, drinking, I got up to 275. Yeah. I was it was miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked and saw my old mother-in-law finish a marathon and I was like, I can't even run a mile right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so what habits did you start adopting that you feel like helped you get to where you're at right now in terms of mentally, physically, financially, all of it, right? Because a lot of things had to switch in terms of some of the personal decisions mm-hmm. that you were making. So, you know, there you went through a divorce, got that situation, cleared that out, right? Mm-hmm. So that you could start focusing on you, right? Again, what people need to understand is, again, if you're going through something difficult right now, like, sit in it mm-hmm. for a second, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's lonely or it's depressing or it's this. Like, in those moments, a lot of people like to distract themselves with something else rather than actually sit in that shit and ask themselves tough questions and reevaluate their life. At one point, you had to kind of evaluate self and say, eating bad, drinking, you know, working, like, that's not what I want. So you started focusing on you in one way, shape, or form. Was it some of the meetings that we had in terms of, you know, the sales meetings saying, hey, focus on yourself, listen to podcasts, read books, like, you know, exercise? Like, when did the shift start happening and what are some of the habits that changed?
I think it's a little combination of all those things.
Yeah.
Is when I sit back and look at it, and even from when I left Logan to move down here, I just got to a point, and even at that point, I got to a point where I knew I didn't want that anymore. It wasn't giving me the happiness. It wasn't giving me the satisfaction I needed. And yeah, I could sit back and blame it on the alcohol or blame it on the fact that, oh, I don't have enough time in my day to get to the gym or whatever it is. But those are all excuses that weren't going to get me to where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I'd already gone down that road. I knew what that road brought me.
Yeah.
So going down that road and staying down that path, I already knew what it was going
to
be.
You already had the result of continuing to do what you've always done.
Exactly.
And then it puts you in a spot where you were at a low place. So if you continue to do what you're doing, then you're going to stay in that low spot, right?
Absolutely.
And so you reconciled those thoughts and then started adjusting some of your habits. What was one of the first things that did you just say, I'm going to be done drinking first?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to start working out? Like, what was the first shift?
To me, it was steps along the way. The first thing I focused on was, I wanted to get back in shape. So I went on keto diet 100% for 6 months, locked in, dropped tons of weight, and then I started getting into the gym and just getting in a routine to where I just made it a consistent pattern. Now it's just part of me.
Yeah.
The days I don't hit the gym, I feel like crap as it is. So it's just creating new habits, and I had to do that in each phase, though. I had to make sure I'm spending time when I'm home with my boys. I'm throwing my cell phone off to the side for two or three hours, so I'm locked in with them. Two, being by myself was even after my divorce, I lived by myself for a year, year and a half, going from seeing your kids every single day and having that craziness to
quiet,
hearing crickets. It allows you to self-reflect. I went to therapy and I needed that time to honestly sit back and be selfish.
Yeah.
I had to think about myself and what I wanted. And I got to the point where 4 years ago, I shifted to, I'm not going to settle for anything but that. I'm going to surround myself with the people that actually build me up, make me feel like I'm accomplishing something, bring value to my life, see good in me, and vice versa, all the way around. I wanted to be that for other people. And coming in to this organization, even over, I think it was 6-7 years ago, when the company got down to 2 people.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we haven't always been doing like 10 millies, you know, like it's, I think when you came over, we were hitting, you know, 5 to 15,000 a week in sales, you know, something like that. We were probably struggling to hit that first million on that first year. And then, you know, Tyler's been a big piece of, you know, evolving from a million to, you know, 10 million. Right. Mm. So he's been around, and that's one reason why we wanted to highlight you, because there has been ups and downs.
Yeah.
Like what keeps you on a fucking ride that long when most people, when you make changes or shifts, you know, which we've seen here, when change happens or shift, usually people start falling off.
Well, he was there when we were busting over 10 million a year at the old company.
Oh,
so he was there. He saw it, but he saw also, and I don't know, I don't want to speak for him, but you know, he saw like this company hitting a couple million, but it was just full of greed, which is why the whole partnership fell apart. Mm. Right. And then when it all fell apart and it's like everything was crumbling around all of us, it was kind of like, okay, I'm over there making moves with you and Jared, like, okay, what are we going to do to rebuild this one over here that's falling apart with that partner? And then this thing starts falling apart over here. And I was like, well, let's bring those guys over here and we'll just rebuild this too. Right. And it was like, and then I thought all of them would want to come, but some of them didn't. And it was just like JD and Tyler were like, well, we're coming, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of it was just,
but it was because, literally a start over.
Yeah. 100%. It was from the ground up at that point. But even starting there, like it was so small, but it was so big because I came from the other side where you were working for people that didn't show gratitude,
right?
Didn't see any appreciation, that the culture was, hell.
Yeah.
And going from that, even if you only are surrounding yourself by one or two people, but it's positive.
Good people. Yeah.
You guys were the reason I wanted to keep it going, right? Yeah. Like I was literally telling Jeremy one day, I was like, look, dude, those guys over there have made great money. They're seeing the same stuff we're seeing right now, going from here to here, right? Yeah. And we're scared too. Like, how are we going to feed our families? They're feeling the same thing over there. I was like, I really think if we just treat them good, man, just bring them over, let's treat them good, we can go out and rebuild this thing, right? Mm. And we've had that talk with you too about like, hey, let's just all partner up and build both, right? And it was just, I mean, dude, I got a ton of gratitude too, because I remember you guys being like, dude, we want to come over and work for you. These guys have been horrible over there. But then a couple of them didn't come. It was just you and Diz, you know? But, man, that was a crazy time. It was a really weird time. But it literally was starting over from zero. Other than, you know, we had some relationships still, it was like literally starting over from zero. And everybody had to wear a lot of different hats.
For sure.
You still do. Shit.
Yeah.
You're still wearing a lot of hats.
I've adapted and grown in a lot of different ways. And it's been a good thing, though, because it's challenged me in different ways. And every day it does. And that's, if there's one thing that keeps me grounded, it's probably that. I like the challenge.
Yeah.
I like trying new things. I like accomplishing things, even if it's not just on sales side now, and I'm leading a team or I'm getting a sales crew. Because I'm not going to lie. I mean, 3-4 years ago when you guys put all the trust into us running the sales side, I was nervous as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were too. You know, it goes both ways. Yeah. But eventually somebody, you have to – We can't have our hands in everything, right?
Sure.
If we try to have our hands in 100% of things, in reality, if you're trying to grow as big as we want, we can't have our hands in everything. If anything, we would be holding the business back by having our hands in everything. And in some cases, people see something in you that maybe you don't see in yourself yet, right? Like we saw that you were making shifts in the right direction. And even people listening need to understand, you're never going to be fully prepared for leadership. You're never going to be fully prepared to manage. That's not something where you're just like one day you wake up and you're like, I'm ready now. It happens. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, it's imposter syndrome. Like, okay, can I really lead these people? Are they going to listen to me? Here comes all the doubts, right? Mm-hmm. Where you start questioning your abilities and questioning yourself. which I actually think is a good thing.
Right.
Because that means that you actually care enough and you want to do good at it. Mm-hmm. So if you're not questioning yourself, can I fill these shoes? Can I lead? Like, then I don't think that you're going to have the same drive as somebody that's just relaxed. Like, oh yeah, I got this. This right. is no big deal.
Yeah.
If it's no big deal, they're not going to give the same effort. The fact that they want to do really, really well should give them a little bit of a nervous feeling of like, I don't want to let other people down, right? Like, it's time for me to step up. And we've seen a huge shift just in those 3 years in you and Kaysen, right? In terms of the whole culture, even. You know, we took it to a certain level, and then you took it to a different level, right? Mm-hmm. Because we weren't in the same office as you on a day-to-day basis. Somebody had to be there holding it down, and you did an amazing job. But me and Kel have talked about that several times. Tyler's mm-hmm. kicking ass. He's doing amazing. Right. And then here we are again trying to say, it's your time again, right? Mm-hmm. It's time for you to step up in a whole nother capacity, which can be scary. And maybe some of those same feelings that you had when you were taking over the leadership of the sales side, mm-hmm. you might have some of those same feelings now, you know, on the operations side, trying to lead an entire company, but you're doing it.
Yeah.
And you're doing a good job at it. Right. So that's one thing I want to say straight up. Like, don't question yourself whether you're doing a good job, because we see what you're doing and you're absolutely kicking ass. And there's more levels to Tyler.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to ascend to some pretty awesome places in life and in our organization, and you've continued to bring value. It's just amazing to see somebody go from a dark place to being a positive light inside of a company when you couldn't even be that light for yourself at one point, right?
One thing I can totally relate with you on, bro, and maybe this is why I was just, you know, always like, I don't know, maybe it's why I'm always like, dude, I just have always had a belief in you, right? Is because, dude, we've been through a lot of the same shit, you know, and you know, I didn't know what I was doing when I was leading the sales team, you know, and I'm an emotional being and you're an emotional being, dude. Like, you've seen me cry in sales meetings. I've seen you cry in sales meetings, you know, but we hold on to things, but we learn from things too, man. And I hope that you forgive yourself too for a lot of that shit too. Cause I went through the same thing in divorce, having to be by myself, went to therapy. My therapist says, don't even date. I just want you working on you. Right. And I had to learn to be alone, and it sucked. It sucked a lot. But then, dude, I had all the same realizations. I'm like, man, I'm a shitty dad. I thought everything I was doing was to be a good dad, but I was a shitty dad. I was a shitty husband. Right. And then I had to forgive myself, dude. And I had to like move past that shit in order to be better for other people around me and the people that I wanted to bring into my life. And I've seen you do that recently. Right. But I've just kind of weird. It's weird, man, how you see some people's journeys and you can just relate with every step. And I've done that with you too, man. I relate with you on so many different steps. And then here you are, bro, just like kicking ass, taking names, leading people.
You know, I to Kel's point, you know, saying shitty dad, shitty, the, you know, whatever, whatever.
You can't hold on to that shit though,
man. Well, you can't hold on to it, but I think it's easy to justify that when you're a high income earner, mm-hmm. right? You hang your hat on the fact that, well, I provide better than what most people can provide for their, like, so you justify your lack in some areas with the income.
For sure.
Because it's greater than maybe other people's income. If you make 200 grand a year or 300 grand a year or whatever it is, right? Sometimes we utilize that one good thing as an excuse to fuck off other things in our 100%. Life. Like, well, I'm doing this right. Most people's problems are money problems, so at least we don't have that. And I'm not
I'm not a present dad, but I can pay for their club sports and their Xboxes and their, you know, whatever.
Right? But that's why that's why it's also so difficult to course correct and make an adjustment, because you have that thing to hang your hat on. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had low income and you weren't around, and what are you hanging your hat on?
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to have that self-reflection, have those honest conversations with yourself, and make the proper adjustments. So a typical day used to look like working, eating
out every
and
meal.
Drinking.
Yeah.
And what does a typical day look like for you now?
Get up at 5:30 in the morning, hit the gym. That's the first routine.
Get a sick pump.
Get a, try.
Yeah.
Get to that point. But I'm also in that gym now, just not just listening to music. I'm listening to podcasts, listening to different things that will help me grow and educate myself in different ways. I mean, I can go listen to music all day, but I'm not really going to learn anything from it after it's all said and done. And so I've shifted just making sure that outside of, not just in the office, at home and all those different areas, I'm putting in the work to grow in different areas that I feel I'm lacking, whether it's being a better husband, being a better partner, being a leader 4 or 5 years ago and shifting into that role. The one thing that it taught me is I couldn't be selfish anymore. Mm. Selfish had to take a backseat.
Yeah.
Everybody else is 10 times more important than myself. Mm. But in return, I grew. Like, in return, I was more rewarded personally. I was helping
more
other people.
More fulfilled.
So exactly.
In the past, when you were only worried about yourself, you ended up, you know, eating like shit and drinking yourself to sleep or whatever, right? And then when you actually put your focus on other people, you don't feel so bad for yourself because you're actually contributing to other. You put their focus on something else. Mm-hmm. If you want to feel fulfillment, you're supposed to contribute. It doesn't matter where you're contributing, but contribute to somebody or something that's outside of you so that you can start seeing and feeling fulfillment within yourself. For and sure. When you take that shift, I think maybe that's part of the reason why, you know, there's been a huge, it's not about me anymore. It's about us as an organization. It's about the people. Let's make sure that they're okay. And then at that point you start growing and evolving.
It made me shift in the family life too. It made me realize that at that point, like, oh, I'm not being there for them in the way that they need it too. So it made me grow in that area. I was like, damn, I didn't realize I was lacking and not focusing at home where I should be in these areas.
Yeah.
So it helped me grow there. But in all, like, it made me sit back and really look at the situation of, like, okay, I could stay in this position, I could stay where I'm at, but realistically, money's not going to give me my happiness.
Yeah.
That starts with myself. Money does not only not give you happiness, it doesn't make you a good person.
Yeah.
You make yourself a good person. Mm. And all my mistakes, everything I've been through, wrong decisions I made, and trust me, I made a few, but at the end of the day, those things made me who I am today. So I got to look at those things as positive.
Yeah.
And it was just shifting that mindset to where I could sit back and play victim. I could say, why me, but why not me? Those things were coming at me for a reason. Yeah, it might not have made sense. And trust me, there was times that it did not make sense. But those things came at me for a reason. And it's helping me push in different areas. So even now, taking on a new role now in this position, I'm not near scared now to take on that role.
Yeah.
And it's because I know myself now and I program myself to think that way. And I know damn well I'll put in the work to make it happen. And there's no other option for me.
I think it just comes down to perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just has a different perspective. And when a tough situation arises, you know, he has a different perspective on that tough situation. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, because some people, they might pray for more income.
Right.
And what some people need to realize that if that happens and that's what you're praying for, what you're really praying for is more problems.
Right.
To solve, right? That's because as your income increases, you're having to deal with more. You're having to deal with more problems, more stresses. So if you want your income to be careful what you wish for.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you're wishing for more income, that doesn't mean that you can keep doing exactly what you're doing. Yeah. That's when the pressure and the stress and the hard times come, just to see if you can overcome that hurdle to get to that thing that you said that you wanted. Mm-hmm. The issue is a lot of people pray for this or pray for that, and then when the blessing comes in the form of something difficult, and if they overcome that, they'll find a better version of themselves. Most people back away from difficult, and then they rescind back into their old habits, their old patterns, and they stay where they're at, and they say, I can't catch a break. No, you can't fucking overcome a hurdle. Yeah. You're not addressing the difficult shit in your life. You guys just heard Tyler address difficult shit in his life in order to find a better version of himself.
Yeah.
He could have easily said, I don't want to, like, it's difficult.
He could have
I don't
want to put like, in the work. God, these guys just threw me to the fucking wolves. I quit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but he's just like,
look,
I love these dudes around me. I got to figure out how to make this shit work.
When pressure's on, it will crumble some people. That's just a fact, right? Like, the people that are supposed to be with you and do life with you will be there. through the ups and the downs and the difficult situations. But also we see that, and that's why we want you guys to win. And we want you to win big, because we've seen you guys go through the ups and the downs and the struggles and the stresses and the trials and the tribulations, just like we all have. We want you guys to be rewarded for that, right? And there will be a reward for that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what people need to understand. If you want something greater, understand that it might actually get worse before it gets better. So if you want something greater, expect a difficult situation. I don't know what your difficult situation looks like, but expect it. Mm-hmm. And when the difficult situation arises, as long as you have a proper perspective, then you could view that and say, okay, this is supposed to teach me something. This is redirecting me somehow, and start looking internal and figure out a way to have the right perspective on a difficult situation that allows you to overcome it. And that's exactly what you did. Therefore, you overcame that situation. Therefore, you have a lot more mental clarity.
Exactly.
You know, financial situation is better. Physical situation is better. Everything. And the cool thing about it is, let's say, for instance, somebody does drink heavy and they want to start making minor changes. That one change might be starting to go to the gym. The funny thing about making one change, it usually leads to another. So you start going to the gym and you're putting in a little bit of work, and you start questioning yourself. And you're like, well, if I'm putting in the work, why would I want to go home and drink? I want to see the results from the work that I'm putting in. And so those questions start coming in, and then your habits start adjusting based upon one new habit. You start seeing something positive come from it, and you're like, well, I don't want to go to the gym and just eat like shit, or go to the gym and go home and drink. When I'm working out, I actually want to eat better. If I'm not working out, which seems kind of weird, you would think like, hey, if I'm not working out, like I better eat clean so that I don't pack on the pounds. But
when you're working out, you're like, I earn this cheat meal every day.
Yeah.
I've been on both sides.
But when I'm like sore and I feel my body sore, I'm like, I want to give it something good. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I want to eat something that's halfway healthy so that I feel like the work that I'm putting in, or how sore I am, isn't a waste. Right. And so I think that's what people need to understand. Did Tyler go from old Tyler to new Tyler like that? Absolutely not. It started with one new habit, one positive change. One positive change will make you think a little bit differently. And that little different perspective shift might make you make another change, and then another change. And then it kind of snowballs from music to the podcast. From instead of eating like shit and drinking, you go to the gym, or, you know, maybe waking up an hour therapy, like all that, like literally just working on you and focusing on you. Again, it's a domino effect.
Right.
Good shit will happen. One thing leads to 10 new changes in your life. And then in 2 or 3 or 4 years, you're a completely different person and have that perspective shift, right?
That's kind of where my mind shifted, was right around there. It shifted to that, but it also shifted in a way where to me, you guys have heard me use this analogy before. To me, I mean, yourself is an art piece that you're always crafting away at. It's never going to be perfect. So if you're expecting yourself to be perfect today, it's not going to be perfect today. It's not going to be perfect tomorrow. It's going to take work for you to grow and become better every single day. And I have the belief, it took a while to get to this position, but I have the belief anything in life that you want, you can get.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see somebody argue that the other way. Because in my opinion, shift your mindset. Shift your actions. Shift what you're doing to go accomplish it. Even if you want to be an NBA player, get in the gym.
Yeah.
Get up shots. Do what you need to. Put in the work to get there. It's not like LeBron just had it handed to him.
Yeah.
It wasn't handed to him. Nobody's seen the sacrifices, everything that he's put in behind the scenes. Everybody that's in a good position, you could sit back and say, why me? Why am I not in that position? But you're not really looking at what they've done to get that.
Yeah.
The sacrifices they made to get there.
So, and what you said too, like actually put in the work. Mm-hmm. Like one of our core values here is lift up other people around you. The best thing you can do is actually work on you to do that, right? And that's what a lot of people don't understand, man. Like you know, some people can knock on going to therapy, but like I've seen you go there and have a fucking shift. I've went there and have a shift. Like I've seen dudes that have been in our company that are like, damn, dude, I need to go to therapy. Fucking Kel's done it. Ty's done it. I've seen it help him. So what are we doing by leading by example? I actually doing the damn work, right? Yeah. Like we're influencing the people, lifting the people up around us. And that's why it's one of our core values.
Well, I think it's just a matter of investing in yourself, whether that's time, money, you know, whatever it is, effort. Right? Like when you go to the gym, you know, you're investing time and effort. You know, when you're, if you go to therapy, you're investing time, money, and effort, right. You know, because that shit costs money. So, and it ain't cheap, you know, especially if you're real fucked up, right? Yeah. Like, you got to go once a week for a hot minute.
Especially if you get someone then, good, too. Like, there's some shitty therapists out there. I mean, but if you look at it right, I mean, they're like a coach, right?
Yeah.
That's all it is. You go hire a coach online that's a badass, say, marketing coach, but like, bro, or a fitness trainer, like, dude, going to something like therapy is literally just a coach for your brain. Like, you're there to better your brain.
Investing in yourself.
And that's where I saw the biggest shift too, man. It's just like, I'm going to actually do the fucking work. I don't want to be angry anymore. And then it's all of a sudden people around me are getting better. And that's why you're the main leader around this company. It's because like you're getting better. And by default, everybody around you wants to get better. And then me and Trevor sitting here going, all right, dude, you know, because we have a coach who's saying you have to trust your team to take shit on and make mistakes, but level up while you guys go in these other buckets and level up. It's like, we didn't actually want to do it at first, right? Like, we were like, dude, like we do the sales meetings, we get the leads, like we do these things. It's like, okay, well, if you want to take your company to the next level, you got to go work on these things over here. So somebody's going to have to fill those shoes. And we're like, okay, shit, Tyler, we got to have Tyler do it, man. He does the work, right? So
well, we saw how far we could take it if we just continued to do what we were doing,
right?
We did whatever 10 million a couple years straight, like over and over and over, and it's just like there's only, I mean, is that the plateau?
Yeah,
it kind of seemed like that was the plateau.
Like,
right?
What are we gonna do to go
and
to 50?
So like how do we hit 15? How do we hit 20? Like, we have to put people in place so that we can go do more of what we do to try to bring in more. Right. And so
that's one thing I think that I've seen a shift in you guys as owners and anybody that's running a business in general. Sit back and be vulnerable. Trust in yourself that you don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I've learned from you guys. You guys have been 100% transparent when you don't and you need help and you need suggestions. But the reason why the company's grown to where it's at, and we're just getting started, in my opinion, we haven't even scratched the surface.
Sure. Absolutely.
But with where it's gonna go and where we've even the success we have had up to this point, it's only become because all of us have been a piece to the puzzle. It hasn't been one person that's got it there. And it's surrounding yourself with that right crew and the people that are gonna help uplift, that aren't gonna think of theirself. And every day it's a constant battle. I mean, it's easy to say that, but are you doing that? Are you living that by example? Are you living that to your crew? Are your coworkers, your family, your kids, like, all that stuff. It has to be, and it starts with you. It starts with yourself. And that's why I said chasing, going after things that you want in life, whether it's material or goals or accomplishing Spartans that we've done together and stuff like that. Like, stuff like that just challenged me in different ways. But I chose that. I chose to step up to the plate because I wanted to feel the reward after it was all said and done. Mm-hmm. And that reward is what keeps me in a shift in my mindset, because that reward is what made me feel satisfied. Mm-hmm. And that's what gives me my happiness, not the money. The money's that nice and it's there, but spending that time and seeing other people level up and accomplish their goals has helped me get that satisfaction. Because I didn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, and we've been transparent with you guys in terms of like, hey, guys, we don't expect you to be perfect, right? Like, you guys Which will make mistakes. You guys will fall on your face. You will, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something that if you are an entrepreneur listening to this and you have some key players that are just kick ass that you're like, man, this person, you see something in them that maybe they don't see in themselves yet, might be one of the leaders inside this organization. You know, when it comes down to it and you hand over the control, you know, you're putting yourself in a situation where there can be mistakes that are made, and you can't harp or be too harsh on the end of it, because as we've said before, we made all those same mistakes. We've worked with the wrong vendors and got burned here or there, you know, and sometimes it's just a process of elimination. You know, as you make decisions, make the decision, own the decision, and whatever the result is, you either win from it or you're going to learn, okay, we're not going down that and doing that again. And we've had a lot more of those turns in the decade plus that we've been in business. You'll end up losing more money on the path to figuring out really what does work. But you have to be open, one, to support the people that are operating the business, be willing to spend the money.
Right.
You know, that's, I think, where the big issue lies for most entrepreneurs is investing where you need to invest. You know, we're in the process of of trying to hire like 4 new accountants, right? So that we can continue to grow. But that costs money, and we want our current accountants to ultimately make more money. So we're going to be dishing out money. Everyone has heard us talk about taking a backseat to income so that we can invest into the growth of the business. And I think that that's the misstep I think a lot of entrepreneurs make, is they're not reinvesting back where the business needs, because again, they want the material things and
worried about their self.
Yeah.
A lot worried of ways, about that's their the old partnership.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, one-on-one, that's exactly what happened. That's what
crumbled it. 100%. So I will say probably my biggest takeaway from this talk today is, you know, and we said it a little bit earlier, is like, you know, like we've been thrown to the wolves. I've been thrown to the wolves. You've been thrown to the wolves. Right. Like, and we get put in these positions where it's like, fuck, I got to figure it out. Right. But at the end of the day, man, like that's what you got to be looking for in the people that you do want to partner up with, the people you want to do life with, the people that you want to take over roles in companies so that you can level up, is do they have that callous part about them that's like, all right, throw me to the damn wolves.
Yeah,
that's, I'll figure it out. Like, bring it on, man. And we're all getting better at that, man. Like everything that gets thrown at me now, it's like, okay, I can figure this out. I can get through this. And it's because we all have in common this one thing. We know the rewards on the other side. We don't back off. Like Trev said earlier, we don't back off. We don't back off from the challenge because we know the rewards on the other side. So throw me to the damn wolves, right? And that's what we see in you, and that's what we've seen ourselves, and that's what we see in other leaders in the company as well. And that's what business owners, that's what people listening to this episode should look for as well. Like, who in your company has that? That, because that's a gift, man. Like, who has that gift of like, bring it on, throw me to the wolves, we'll figure it out, we'll go to the next level. And That's my takeaway from this episode. Yeah, that was badass.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's, 100%. And dude, you live it. We live it, and it is crazy, man. I can't even imagine what not just our lives are going to be like when we're at the next level, whatever it is, $50 million, $100 million year company. What's your life going to be like? What's Kaysen's life going to be like? What's Wyatt's life going to be like? You know, what's everybody's life going to be like when we go to that next level? And I think that's the other thing, is we all are here for us, not just one person. We've kind of nipped that selfishness in the ass.
Yeah, but then we talked about that on this episode.
Yeah.
When you started thinking about other people is when you started feeling more fulfilled.
Exactly.
And so, again, you know, we make good money, right? All of us
right.
in here. And when you make good money, you realize it's not just about that.
Right.
And you start everything. Looking at the bigger picture, that's when true fulfillment happens. And so, if you're at a lonely or dark place, you may be overthinking about yourself rather than the people that you're around. Figure out a way to serve others, right? Even when we go over goals at the beginning of the year, everyone, I want to make this, I want this, I want this. And then at the very end, it's like,
better father, not, better,
yeah, better, da, 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 better whatever. Husband. And even us as the business owners
last year with some of them on it.
Yeah.
Told them to shift that around.
Yeah. So when we first started doing like beginning of the year meetings and stuff and asking what their goals are, you know, they were all backwards.
Yeah.
Working on themselves was below the money factor.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to make, you know, 250 or three, you know, just their income wanted to be greater than what it was last year. But they fail to realize if they're a greater individual than what they were last year, they're going to have that different perspective and they're going to be able to, you know, be in a better place mentally and emotionally. And if you're in a better spot mentally and emotionally, you're going to be able to give more during your sales calls. And if you're giving more during your sales calls, you have the ability to therefore increase your numbers. Yeah. So in some cases, you can watch sales videos. It comes down to mindset. Yeah. It comes down to mindset, really. And when you put the right things in the right spots in terms of what's valuable, eventually the money situation figures itself out, as long as you've got, hey, I want to continue to evolve, fill my mind with good shit. I want to continue to move my body so that I feel good in my body, and then invest my time in the right areas, whether, you know, it's at therapy, whether it's in a book, whether it's a podcast during the gym. You're investing your time wisely, even outside of work, so that you can continue to evolve. Therefore, your income will continue to evolve rather than just focusing on the money.
Right.
And so
applying.
And he's done a good job
of the shit you learn in the books, the therapy, the podcast, like actually doing it. Just listen.
And he's done an amazing job since those conversations a couple of years ago. The shift has happened. Mm-hmm. And then now you're trying to teach people that same shift that you're leading, right?
For sure. And trying to put one thing I think that really helps with a lot of that too is, and this is one thing I suggest to anybody that's in a leadership role, listen to your crew.
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen to your crew, because that advice and that feedback and what they're telling you, that helps you grow too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's helped me grow substantially. That's helped our company grow, because I've taken the feedback from them and actually implemented in other areas, or they've come up with ideas that I didn't have in that situation. But listening, I think, was one of the biggest shifts for me, was just listening to them, listening to the crew, listening to podcasts, listening to believing in the owners that did believe in me in those circumstances.
Your clients.
Listening to them, even getting positive reviews and everything back. Like that, that's what I strive for, is that stuff. And that's the money. The funny thing is, money ends up growing afterwards.
Yeah.
My bank account still grows afterwards, after it's all said and done. But listening was my biggest shift for me as a manager, as a leader, is just listening to the crew, and not just even here, but outside at home, going home and disconnecting from social media and all the other crap that's out there. So you can just listen and be there and be physically there.
Yeah.
And emotionally there for your family and your crew.
Yeah. No, it was a good episode.
It's good, man.
It's a good episode.
It's good.
I was going to say, how do they connect with you?
Yeah.
You know?
It's rough at times.
Yeah.
He's on social media a little bit.
Yeah.
I see him post good stuff.
If somebody wants to hit you up and ask you a question about, you know, leadership, management, you know, or...
He's busy right now, guys.
Is Trevin Kell as cool as what we think on social media?
Yeah. Yeah. Kell only lets me check my Instagram once a week. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have restrictions around here. It's like China. You know, we're a dictatorship.
Feel free, though, to hit me up on my Instagram or my Facebook. It's Tyler Augustus, and last name's just August with a U.S. on the end of it. Yeah. So it's pretty simple.
And we usually put that in the bio as well. So, you know.
Down to help out wherever I can.
And if you can't find him, you know, send us a message, and we can go ahead and tag him and redirect you to him. But, you know, he's generous with his time, as you guys heard on this interview. He's about serving other people, helping other people. And he knows that if he does that, and he does that at a high level, he's going to feel fulfillment. He'll feel better. He's contributing to society and helping other people. So everybody has the ability to win when it comes to that. So if you have questions for Tyler, you can either just shoot us a DM, or you can go try to find Tyler Augustus on Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. Now, let's also make sure that you're dropping a review. I haven't seen a review in like 2 weeks.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I looked last night. Oh. Shame on you guys.
I guess I'm going to have to go leave a review.
Yeah. Let's go around the office today. Yeah. And take everybody's cell phones and drop our own 40, reviews. 50
new reviews.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. So make sure you guys help us so we don't have to do that. You know? Drop a review. Make sure you're sharing this information with somebody that you think would get value out of it, which in my eyes or my perspective is everybody. So share it with everybody that you know. And as always, guys, we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate the support that you've shown us. And, you know, if you reach out for accounting, you may just get Tyler on the phone and be able to have that one-on-one conversation where he will listen to you.
You just barely heard that he's a good listener.
You know, anyways, again, guys, we appreciate you. Take care. Have a kick-ass day.